Hello, Boomerati. Welcome to Blue Sun's Special Edition Expert Series interview with Taryn Blake. We're so excited to have all of you on this private dance floor, and a big, big boomtastic thank you to our gracious disco keeper, Fabiku, who helped make this event possible. I'm Deb Dorchak, your tech DJ for today, keeping the beats and behind-the-scenes transmissions clear and strong. And while I won't be doing much talking, we have MC Wendy Kelly conducting the interview. So say hi, Wendy.
Hello, everybody. This is Wendy Kelly. And thank you so much for letting us do this and for being a part of this wonderful moment to interview Taryn Blake. We are very excited to be able to open this doorway and give her this opportunity to talk to you. So, hi, Taryn. Welcome to your big space. How are you doing here today?
Hi, Wendy. I'm trying not to panic, but you guys have done a great job of prepping me, so hoping for the best.
Well, you have done a great job of getting yourself prepared, so I think everybody has a treat in store for them and a wonderful moment or two here to get you started, to tell them, anybody who doesn't know, how this whole thing came about. And then after that, everybody get your pens and pencils ready, because I know, because I've seen what she's been doing here, she's got a bunch of really juicy information for you. So if you want to take notes, get ready to do that. And while they're getting their pens, why don't you just share how this whole thing came to be for anybody who was taking a vacation on Mars or wherever and might have missed that gigantic thread that started all of this in the first place?
Oh, well, what did that thread end up at? I think 300 and something comments.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. 51 pages long. It's crazy.
It was the craziest thing. But during the alt planning call that Fabeku did, Leela realized that she had a couple of pieces of art in her home that just weren't reflecting the energy that she needed. Mm-hmm. So she asked about it in the Boom Brigade the next day. And I commented and told her this somewhat related story that I remembered from one of the books that I've read. And when you toss out the term feng shui, in some crowds, everybody just moves on, and in other crowds, people start asking questions. Mm-hmm. And the Boom Brigade was in that second category. People started asking questions. I started typing out, tapping out answers on my phone, and the next thing I knew, people were encouraging me to develop this.
It was pretty amazing.
I have never experienced anything like it.
Yeah, it was definitely fun to watch, definitely be a part of. Next thing I knew, I was watching a little mini business sort of just appear right before my very eyes, and the next thing it was like, well, could you do this? It was like they were throwing business at you and asking for some way for you to be able to transmit this information to them. And so we decided to put together this call.
And that's where we are. I'd never really considered that maybe this weird combination of things that bump around in my head would be interesting to anybody else.
Isn't that always the way, though?
I think so, Deb. The things that we find so normal and no big deal to us just fascinates everybody else. And Taryn, I think you really bumped into something that people care quite a bit about. So I have a question. What I'd like to, just to get this whole thing going, is what would be like the very first general question, if you can remember back to the beginning of all of that, or maybe just when you're out in general, what is the first thing that people really want to know when they're thinking about the overall idea of improving the energy of their home? What is the first place that they usually go? What's the most important thing that people are looking for?
Most people are looking for a way to get started that's easy, okay? Because there's so much information out there, and it's easy to get overwhelmed and just panic. It doesn't have to be that hard. And the second thing that people, I think, miss, other than it doesn't have to be that hard in the beginning, is to set an intention for their space. Because otherwise, you can just start following a bit of advice from here, a bit of advice from here, a bit of advice from here, and it doesn't go together and make any sense.
Well, I can definitely relate to that. I am the mother of 4 kids, 2 grandkids, 3 giant dogs, and a house that every room could definitely use you to come in here and put your magic to work. So for somebody like me who just gets so overwhelmed, feels like I just want to throw my hands up in the air and that I should just get out a giant shovel and do everything once so that I can have one whole giant, clean, feng shui house. I'm the perfect client that would say, I'm totally overwhelmed by the whole thing. You know, I work full time, I'm too busy, and I don't even know where to begin half the time. So how do I start? Where do you begin?
That's where layer theory is fabulous.
Okay, and I know that there was a ton of interest when those two words came up on the Boomerati, and I'm fascinated by this, so please do tell us, what is this layer theory, and can you just give us a real clear idea of what we're talking about here, because it seems, if that's the Superman power, that's what we all need to get this house clean.
Okay, layer theory is what makes this doable, okay? It's one step at a time.
Okay.
Do the first things first and build on that. So, and I know that folks are going to be, as I go through the layers, they're going to be sort of mapping out in their heads what they think they need to do to their house.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw on this survey lots of folks are dealing with shared space. They have roommates. They really only have one room or part of a room that's theirs.
Mm-hmm.
So focus on the space that's yours. Don't worry about everybody else's space. Focus on yours.
Okay. So as we're going through these different layers, we're just really taking the space that we're focused on working on and applying these layers to that space, whatever that space may be.
Yes. If that's one room, that's fine. Just do it in your one room. Don't worry about your roommate's room.
Okay. So what would be the first layer then?
Layer
one.
How do we
get started?
Yeah. Layer one is decluttering. And, you know, that may be bad news for some people. But
yeah,
It really is the first step, because clutter weighs down our energy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Think about, you know, walking into the most cluttered space you've ever been in. Like, think about maybe your grandma's attic and how that felt. Okay. And then compare that to walking into this completely fabulous fancy hotel. Think about the difference in those two spaces,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of that difference is the lack of clutter in that second space. So
well, that is absolutely true in terms of energy and how you feel about a place. In fact, I think sometimes we just go on vacation to get away from our clutter, but is there tricks to helping us get rid of clutter? Because I have to tell you, I've been fighting the clutter war for several years as a mom, and it seems to always be following me around. So do you have any helps or tricks to help us with this cluttering? I know that also came up in the survey.
One thing that you can do is add in a layer zero of space clearing.
Wow.
Okay. is
tell me more.
Okay, and yes, space clearing is actually level 3, but if your clutter is really, really stuck, sometimes some space clearing will help you get the energy moving enough that you can start to declutter. My other tip is just be gentle with yourself, go really slow. Maybe get a decluttering buddy, and you check in with each other. Or there were apps that we discussed a few days ago in Boom Brigade for building habits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe get one of those habits apps and, you know, put in your decluttering in that and just do a tiny little bit every day. And as you chip away at it, you build momentum.
So I know that one of the people in the Bumarati asked some questions about wardrobe and things like that. Do you have any tips for helping declutter with clothes, wardrobes, things like that?
Well, I think of this, you know, in terms of, okay, what can you do right now? So, for example, our master bedroom is in our wealth area.
Okay.
So, and a lot of people were interested in the wealth area. So in decluttering my closet, I want to get rid of things that make me feel poor and shabby. But yeah, most of us can't buy a whole new wardrobe all at once. So I look at and say, okay, how many T-shirts do I really need? And if I decide that I need 10 T-shirts, I pick out the best 10 and get rid of the rest.
That makes sense.
That is doable for the budget. Yeah, you're not getting rid of everything and having to replace it all at once. But you're also making energy in your closet. You're making space for those new, nicer clothes to come in.
I like it. So let's say that we've gotten somewhere in our cluttering. I'm actually, me as the in general person, the person that you're working with, is actually getting some headway done with their clutter, and they're winning the battle against clutter. What becomes layer 2 then? What do they need to focus on next?
Okay, layer 2 is cleaning. Okay, and yet sometimes people clean as they go with the decluttering. Maybe they'll clean the closet out, and then while everything's out, they'll go ahead and vacuum the floor. Then when they clean the dresser, they'll dust out the drawers and things like that. So it can be an as-you-go-along thing, or you can do it as a totally separate layer.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, the cleaning is next most important because dirt also weighs down energy. But it's easier to do the cleaning after you've gotten the clutter out of the way.
Yeah.
So that's why cleaning is layer 2.
And can I have some clarification on this, just in case anybody's asking this out there and for my own self? You know, once again, being a mom and housewife, I'm cleaning every single day. But are you talking about something different than the washing up the counters, putting the dishes in the dishwasher, sweeping the kitchen floor? Are you talking about more of a spring cleaning, deep cleaning type of thing?
Yes, this is deep. Of course, if you need to do that daily cleaning, yeah, go ahead and do that. But layer 2 cleaning is spring cleaning.
Got it.
This is, yeah, what was that old commercial that talked about cleaning down to the shine?
Right. Lemon fresh clean or whatever, pine salt clean.
That's the kind of clean that's layer 2.
Nice. Okay. And then so what would layer 3 be?
Layer 3 is space clearing, and remember, some of us started there as a layer 0, but just to get things moving a little. But after we've decluttered and cleaned, we've released a lot of ick, and that needs to go. And a lot of people already have methods that they love for this. You know, people sage, people drum. Some people go all through the house with their bells and their singing bowls or whatever. Just essential oil sprays, whatever you love. Hey, use it.
So if I'm understanding this correctly, we're talking about more of a spiritual cleaning. We have the physical space clearing of getting all your junk out of the way, and now layer three is something that's more spiritual-minded, more energy-minded. Am I understanding that right?
Yeah, this is the energetic cleaning part of it.
Energetic,
so we've
okay.
All of the clutter out of our way. We've cleaned the physical stuff. Now we clean the energy.
Okay. And so saging, drumming, bells, essential oils, are there particular oils that you would recommend?
A lot of people use sage oil instead of the sage bundles. Because I know burning those sage bundles always makes me cough. So sage oil is a good alternative. I like a mix of frankincense and myrrh.
Okay.
Citrus oils are good. They're uplifting.
So back to like the lemon scents and stuff.
Right. And I think that's one reason that so many cleaning supplies smell like citrus.
Wow, I never even thought about that.
Because it's an uplifting scent. Unfortunately, most of the commercial stuff is using synthetics. But you can get the essential oils, and that has the smell, and it has the therapeutic properties as well.
So, playing devil's advocate for our woo-woo challenged folks out there, how can you tell if you're drumming, saging, bells, sprays, clapping, whatever, how can you tell if it's working? Is there a certain amount of time you need to do it? Is there a certain amount of, will you feel something different at this point, typically?
If your space is feeling better, it's working.
Okay.
Now,
just as practical as that.
A couple of years ago, a friend mentioned that she had been space clearing in her house.
Mm-hmm.
And one of her kids, she hadn't done any physical cleaning. She'd just space cleared. And one of her children came home after school and said, "Wow, Mom, have you been cleaning?"
Wow.
Because the space felt different, and the child didn't even know it had been done.
Well, here's a question for you. Wouldn't intention also be very important when doing this? Because if you go into it with, you know, kind of the half-assed mindset of the non-woo-woo type person who's thinking, well, you know, this stuff really isn't going to work. You know, is that going to have an effect on your space as well?
Yes. Yeah, just trust yourself. Believe that it will work. If you feel like one particular corner needs more time, just trust yourself and spend it.
Okay.
Good.
So what I'm getting out of this is really something you need to connect with in your own energy. And the tools are the tools, but connecting with your own energy and then moving through and clearing out is sort of a connection between you and the space. Do I have that right?
Yes.
Got it. Okay. That's pretty cool. So then would that bring us to the next layer, a layer four, or is there something more we would need to do?
Now, when you feel like you've space cleared as thoroughly as you need to, then we're up to layer four, rearranging for the flow of chi.
So is this the part where people would start thinking feng shui? Is that the flow of chi? I'm going to admit to not knowing much about feng shui, so I'm asking you as a total beginner.
Yeah, that is sort of a feng shui thing, but
okay.
It's really practical when you think about it. For if you need to explain this to, you know, non-Wu family members, yeah,
mm-hmm.
you don't say, oh, well, the qi is obstructed. That may be the case, but you don't mention that. You say, you know, I keep bumping into this coffee table and bruising my leg. We need to move the coffee table.
I can definitely see that working better with my husband.
Yeah.
Now, what do you do if you don't have any room to move that coffee table?
We're back to the small room or something, just having one.
Yeah, because for example, in our bedroom, it's a small bedroom, and we have a king-size platform bed in there that takes up most of it. And if we're not careful, you know, while moving about in the dark in the middle of the night, you catch your shin on the corner of that platform, and it's a killer, believe me.
Oh, no.
But there's no room to, no place to move the bed or make more room for it.
Wow, that's a tough one.
Yeah, it's a thinker, huh?
You know, I think I might try hanging a feng shui crystal from the ceiling right above that corner and see if that helped any.
That's interesting.
That is totally an off the top of my head kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. But if I couldn't move the physical object, that's what I'd try first.
Mm. Try to offset it with something else.
Yeah.
Okay. And make sure not to hang that too low so that you're bumping the crystal all the time instead of bumping the corner. Although bumping the crystal would hurt far less.
Yeah, just a few inches from the ceiling.
Yeah, yeah.
So, can you give us some other tips
about
rearranging the... Sorry, we're all talking at once. Go ahead and say what you were saying, Karen.
And practically, I think I might look for some sort of a way to pad that corner.
Yeah.
That's practical. Mm-hmm. So can you give us a few more tips about how it... Say we do have space to arrange things, how would we even know that how this flow should go? What would be a good test or a good way for us to even begin this process of looking in our room and go, this is how I should arrange this for the flow? I mean, if I walked into my room and said, I'm going to arrange it for flow, I would just stand there. So helps for a beginner?
Don't actually do this, okay? Just imagine yourself. We don't want any injuries over this. But just imagine yourself trying to navigate your space blindfolded. How successful would you be? Whatever you know you would bump into and trip over, those are the things that you want to look at. Okay? And also, just start noticing the way you actually do move through your space. You know, those spots where you have to turn sideways or the spots where really technically there is enough room but you sort of feel squished. The spots where you have to step over something. Yeah, those are the things to look at.
Wow, my family room's in deep doo-doo. I can see instantly when you have me do that exercise that I have a couch that has to be moved. That's amazing.
Oh, John is going to love you after this call.
I think he might be happy that he no longer has to trip over the sofa when he walks into the room. He might be the first one sending Taryn a check.
That's right.
We got rid of that stupid couch.
Yay.
So, okay, let's assume that I moved my stupid couch out of the way and that the energy is now flowing and we're all not tripping over our furniture What next? Is there a layer five?
There is a layer of five. Layer five is making physical and energetic space for your intention. So remember back before we started, we said set an intention for your space.
Okay.
That gets really important in layer five.
And so to make sure I'm understanding this, we set the intention in the beginning, and then when we did the energetic cleaning, we were still working with that same intention.
Yeah.
We were doing the bells and the scents and all that stuff. So now we're going back with the same exact intention, and what are we going to do with it?
Well, it depends on what your intention is, but I noticed on the survey that a few people were interested in the love and romance and relationship area. So they're, since they voted for that, they're probably trying to attract a new romantic partner into their lives. So for those folks, I would say, do you have space for the person? Okay. In your bedroom, is there a nightstand for them? Is there any space in the closet? Is there any space in the dresser? If they go into your bathroom and they start to take a shower, do they have a spot for their shampoo?
Well, that's interesting. That's an interesting way of looking at setting up space. I mean, and that really could apply to all the aspects, even wealth, right?
If you're taking up all of the space in your home, then the energetics that you're putting out is, I don't have room in my home for someone else.
Interesting.
Fascinating.
And it doesn't even have to be physically in your house if you're working with wealth. If part of your wealth goal is to have a large savings account, do you have a small savings account? Now, you need some place for that money to go when it comes in.
Hmm.
That makes total sense to me.
Yeah, it does. It's just, I just had one of those mind-blowing moments. My mind just literally went boom right now. I don't know if you could hear it. It might have been frightening.
Wow. Okay, so in our wealth section of our home, then, if we have an intention to put more wealth in our home, and I might be just a little bit confused, are we clearing away space in our home so wealth can come in, or are we more concerned about just our savings account and checking account? Are there actually things we could do to have wealth come into that room, if that's what we're looking for, when you're talking about creating that intention?
Well, for your wealth area, let's go back to the closet that we talked about. Okay. If your closet is so clogged with all of the stuff that you don't really like, that you've had to buy from Goodwill because that's your budget right now.
Mm-hmm.
If your closet is stuffed to the brim with that stuff, you don't have any room for those designer clothes that you want.
Got it. So make room, get rid of the things that don't matter to you or that don't fulfill you or give you any good loving energy so that there's space for those kind of things to come into the room or into your life.
Yeah.
Am I getting it?
Yeah, and the other thing with setting the intention that can help here is knowing how you need a space to feel and decorating around that. If you're working on wealth, then you want your space to feel as abundant and luxurious as you can possibly make it, with your current means.
Hmm. Time to get rid of my dog chewed coffee table.
If that's a possibility right now, that would be a great move. If it's not possible right now, then maybe you go to whatever your local fabric store is, to the remnant bin. I bought lots of fabric in the remnant bin because that was the budget.
Mm-hmm.
And you find a piece of fabulous fabric that makes you feel wonderful, and you just drape it right over that chewed up coffee table, and you don't see the chew marks.
Wonderful. I get it. Okay. It's beautiful. So whether you're trying to attract wealth, you're making it more luxurious and abundant looking, and helping you to feel more abundant and wealthy. If you're looking for romance, you're opening up space for that lovely person to come and visit you, and then perhaps enticing them to stay. I know I'm being a little silly, but that's the general gist of it. And are there maybe a few other tips around those lines, or are those pretty much, I think those were the most important areas that the people on the survey were interested in. Would there be one for health?
For health, the official health area in your home varies by which source you're looking at. Some sources put it just right in the center of the house. And other sources put it to the left of the center. Okay. So you could look at those two areas. But the kitchen, no matter which official area it's in, the kitchen is really important for health. Because if your kitchen is not sorted out well, how are you going to feed yourself well? It just makes it that much harder.
That's brilliant.
So for health, one of the things that I would recommend is, in your kitchen area, what are some things that you love that also feel healthy to you and support your health? Like, if you love fruit, do you have a bowl of fruit sitting out where it's easy to grab for snacks?
Okay. So, and clean refrigerators and fresh fruit and cleared off counters, those seem to be obvious ones. Are there any that perhaps we might not think of that would be like one of Dev's big boom ahas? That would be a little more subtle?
Make it easy for yourself to cook. Make it as pleasant as possible for you to be in your kitchen and cook. For some people, that means they need more light because their kitchen's kind of dark and they don't want to be in there.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, a coat of paint is going to go a long way to making them want to be in there to cook healthy things for themselves.
Well, I can attest to the paint theory. I had a color of paint that didn't work for me for about 3 years, and I didn't realize how much the color of that paint was keeping my family out of the kitchen, and I was in there by myself all the time. And a year ago in April, for my birthday, I said, I just want to paint all these walls, and my family came and helped paint the whole first floor of my house in a beautiful, calm color, and everybody came back. Everybody came back. It was like, this is amazing.
Fabulous.
Just changing the paint color of the first floor turned the energy of the whole house around and the way the family interacted in the kitchen and in the space. So I can totally see, not even just in the kitchen, but how paint could make an almost instantaneous difference in what you're talking about.
Yeah, it can definitely help.
And it wasn't expensive. $30 for a can of paint, we were on our happy way. It was great. So we've got our intention done. We've made space for new loved ones and wealth and health. What would layer six be?
Layer six is where a lot of people start. Okay. Layer six is enhancement. And those can be traditional or those can be personal. I think the personal ones are more fun.
Okay.
The traditional enhancements are things like plants and light and fountains. A lot of the really traditional feng shui books will try to get you to hang those, you know, red firecrackers and mm-hmm. stuff in your house. You know, the Chinese restaurant look doesn't go with the rest of my decor.
Not mine either.
So I think it's more fun to dig into some really personal enhancements. So mm-hmm. what are your personal symbols for your intention? If you're looking for wealth, how do you need to feel in your space to feel wealthy? And what do you need to pull into that space to get that feeling? So I know for me, things that feel really luxurious are lots of pillows and incredibly soft blankets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even in the living room, I want something really soft to cover my feet up with if my feet get cold while I'm watching television. So mm-hmm. things like that are going to amp up wealth. In my space. In your space, it may be something completely different.
That makes a lot of sense to me. So for example, I have one room in my house, normal people, and I'm doing air quotes on that because I've never actually met one, but normal people would call it a living room. But to me, it's a sanctuary. It's the place that I go every morning to do my meditation and my reading and quiet time and whatnot. So I've turned it into a sanctuary room with very quiet colors, and I have my fountain. I have paintings that have symbolic meaning to me. I have my favorite books around. I have pictures of my kids, my great-grandma, things like that that are just totally, they're almost talismans and prayer items, things that I look at every morning that bring me gratitude and fulfillment and things like that. So those would be layer six items.
Yeah, those are fabulous enhancements.
Okay. So I am curious that you mentioned that most people start on layer six. And I want to make sure I'm not misunderstanding here. Are you suggesting that these can be done in any order, or are you suggesting that people should start at either layer zero or one and work their way up to enhancements, but that people usually just don't do the other layers?
People should start with layer zero or layer one, but layer six is shiny and easy and fun. Decluttering is not shiny, easy, or fun.
Ah.
And starting with layer six, in some cases, can actually be harmful. I know I've
wow.
read examples where people, you know, read, you know, a quick magazine article at the doctor's office about feng shui, and it said, oh, put a mirror in your wealth area to increase your wealth. And they go home, and they get this huge mirror, and they slap the wealth area, but they haven't decluttered.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Mirrors double whatever they reflect.
Uh-oh.
Ah, okay.
Huge uh-oh.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound good at all.
Nope. They can actually end up increasing their financial problems. So please don't start with layer six. You know, do the groundwork first.
Wow. That is so metaphorically awesome on so many layers beyond all that we're talking here. That is just a lesson for life in so many ways. Don't start on layer six. I love it. I think I'm just going to make a big sign and put that in my office. Don't start on layer six.
Yeah, and I think now I have to run in and straighten up my guest room, because that's where the only huge mirror in the house is, and that room is kind of a catch-all for everything.
In what area of your house is that? Hopefully that's not your wealth area, because your business partner would like you to go
I don't know.
Right
I
now.
Don't know. The the guest room hasn't been designated as anything right now. And, you know, that's a good question, too. Is there a specific way of telling which room is best for what area? Or do you pick a room and create that area?
Okay. Are you familiar with the feng shui map at all?
No, not at all.
Okay. Okay. Imagine the floor plan of your house.
Uh-huh.
And imagine drawing a tic-tac-toe board on top of it.
Okay.
So you divide it into thirds one way and then divide it into thirds the other way. So you have 9 sections.
Okay.
Okay. Assuming that, you know, we have your floor plan on a piece of paper in front of us, okay, reading it like a map, you know, starting on that north row, wealth and prosperity is in the back left. Then in the back middle, there's fame and reputation.
Oh, good Lord, this is making so much sense already.
In the back right is the love and relationship area.
That's my family room. That's where the couch is being tripped over. We have problems.
Yeah, that you might want to do something with that couch. Okay, so in the middle row, okay, to the left, we have family. And like I said, some of the sources will put the health in that area as well. Then the very center portion of the home is center, and a lot of sources put health there. Then middle right is creativity, children, projects, that sort of thing. Then on the front row, okay, and this is the side of your house that your front door is on, at your official front door. To the left, you have knowledge, wisdom, self-cultivation, that kind of thing.
Oh, thank God, that's my sanctuary. I'm on the right track there.
Oh, good. That's a great place for a sanctuary. Then in the middle, front middle, you've got career. And then front right, helpful people and travel.
Excellent.
Okay. Right, so where's your guest room?
Let's see here. It is in that middle back one, which is fame and reputation.
Fame and reputation.
Yeah. And what's to the right of that? Because I have wealth on the one side.
Yeah, there's wealth and then fame and reputation and then love and relationships.
Okay.
Along the back of the house.
Okay.
So if, your guest room is in the fame and reputation area, and it's got a big mirror reflecting clutter, your business partner might like for you to take care of that.
I'm sitting here thinking, we just wrote 4 books that we would like recognized. Could you clean that room up? I'm just totally teasing. But
well, actually, I'm looking at this, and since that's considered the back of the house, right?
Right.
Okay. So then... Actually, I was backwards. The guest room falls in the courier section.
Oh, what is that? Courier sounds like a deal.
Yeah, so you're starting from your official front door. The official front door should be in either your knowledge and wisdom, your career, or your helpful people and travel area. And you orient from there.
Got it. This is really helpful. I hope that other people are getting as much out of this as I am, because I had no idea how that worked.
Yeah. Oh, how interesting. People in travel falls right in the garage.
Which is perfect for travel.
Yeah, the garage is immaculate because Pete demands it stay that way. He's a Virgo.
Well, while we're sorting out where we keep all of our personal rooms, you know, we have a couple more. We just have a little bit more time, and I want to make sure that we can get to a few more of these questions that people have asked us here and make sure that we've taken care of all of the different things. So we've gotten through all the layers. Is layer 6 the final layer? There isn't a sneaky layer seven?
It is currently. One of the questions from the survey sort of prompted some wheels spinning, and I think there may be eventually a layer 7, but right now layer 6 is the final layer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So then one of the other areas, we talked a little bit about clutter in the very, very beginning, and I just want to go back to it since we have a little bit more time. For the people that are really clutter challenged, and I know that there are a few on there who admitted to this really being a problem with them, areas that are more challenging than other areas for clutter, like keeping your recycling area looking decent, keeping your laundry area from looking like a Deb and I joke, Mount Washmore constantly. In my life, I'm going to raise both hands up to mail. I just went through piles and piles of paper this week and just sorted, got rid of them. But it was an hour's worth of work. Practical issues for this kind of stuff. Are there any last-minute kind of hints you want to give us for this kind of stuff? Trash recycling, laundry, any of these things?
Well, the important thing to me is to just try to get routines in place to keep it moving. A lot of sources describe chi as flowing like water, and you want a mountain stream. You don't want the mud puddle in the driveway. So, yes, we have trash. We're not going to run out to the big curbside trash bin every time we want to throw something away. That's not practical. We're not going to wash every single outfit that we take off right then. That's not realistic. But keep it moving. Okay. For your trash cans, a lot of people sort of stress about what area their trash can is in. Mm-hmm. Put it in a convenient area so you will use it. If it's, sort of grubby at the moment, clean it. If it's too far gone to clean and you can, get a fresh new one. Keep the liner in it. Take it out regularly. But that's better than trash all over the kitchen counters because you don't have a trash can where you need it.
Well, that makes so much sense.
Same thing with the laundry, with the mail. If you're keeping it moving, it's not a problem. If you're not keeping it moving, then look at what you need to do to get that moving.
I love the idea. I love that image of it being flowing like a river or like water.
Yeah.
To the stack of mail sitting in my kitchen forever because I don't feel like bringing it upstairs or I don't want to do anything about it. So creating a moving system to keep it not stuck on my kitchen table or counter. Yeah, that's got my brain flowing. So what about those items that, like, I have pots and pans sitting in my laundry room because John's only going to make pancakes once a month, but he is going to make pancakes, but I don't get rid of his favorite pan or put it too far. But to me, it feels like clutter because, there's that old saying that somebody else's stuff is clutter to you and your stuff is clutter to them. What about those occasional use items that are hanging around, for lack of a better word?
First piece of advice is don't fib to yourself. don't say that, oh, yeah, I use this, when really it's like once every 5 years that you use it.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's really making pancakes every month, then you need to keep his favorite pancake pan. So the key is to give it a home and have it stored neatly. Then if it's got a home and you're using it occasionally and it's stored neatly and it's not in the way, then I don't feel that it's harming your chi.
Okay. So respect it or get rid of it. That's
mm-hmm.
what I'm hearing you say. Give it a home or get it out. That's what I
yeah.
hear. Is that, am I hearing you right?
You are.
Okay.
And, you know, sometimes it comes down to if things are out because we don't have a spot to put them away because they've been out because we were using them. And the problem is really that we've got this stuff in the cabinets that we're not using. And if we get rid of that at decluttering stage, then we have the room to store the things that we really do use.
Love it. Love it. And boy, you're nailing me on a few things here, Taryn. I'm getting a little squirmy, so.
Are you kidding? I want to abandon everything else on the agenda for this afternoon and start moving things. It's like, okay,
I don't know how the boomerang is feeling, but you got two squirmy people here on the go.
It's like, no, we can't have this. It's all wrong.
Well, we just got a few more minutes, but I do not want to get off the call without addressing this one last issue because I know people brought it up, and it's so important to them. And that's just the in general area of energy and fatigue and setting up our homes to where we feel the most energetic that we possibly could feel. And that seems to be like a good last place to end, is bringing our home up to some kind of way that we're possibly getting the most energy we possibly can get. What can you tell us? What's our first steps, easiest steps, best steps for best practices for getting more energy, less fatigue, and all that good stuff in our house?
Well, working through the layers is going to help a ton with getting more energy into your house because it's just got more room to run around and play.
Mm-hmm.
But if you really need to get more energy in, focus on your entrance. And by entrance, I mean your official front door. That may not be the one that you use all the time, but that's your mouth of chi.
Okay.
So are there things in the way of getting into the house? Is the porch messy? Imagining, you know, a visitor coming to your front door, is there anything in their way? Yeah, do you have a nice path? Is that path muddy when it rains? Are the shrubs overgrown so that they're sort of obstructing the door? Is your light bulb on the porch burned out and you haven't changed it? Okay. And if you're not using your front door regularly, and it for whatever reason, if it's not practical for you to start using this, just open it once a day.
I think we're hearing Deb's cat. I think it's Deb's cat.
Oh, yes. Mr. Cougar he's got this new thing now where he will sit at the bottom of your chair and meow until you pick him up and give him some attention. And I'm like, dude, I'm busy at the moment. I can't.
That never makes a difference for magic. Magic is the important being in the house. And if he wants attention, he will hear no objections.
Yep.
Well, so I'm going to change my front porch light bulb, and I definitely know there's a few things out there that could be like whisked away from the front porch to make it cleaner. Once we've gotten inside the house, is there anything inside the house that we can do, or are we pretty much, if we get our front porch area done, we're in good shape?
Well, think about the entryway inside of the house sort of in the same way. Is there anything, once the chi gets through your front door, is there anything that's obstructing it? Is there anything in the way that's sort of bouncing it right back out the door? Or, for some houses, you open up the front door and you step in and you're looking out the back sliding glass doors. In that case, you do need something to slow the chi down so it doesn't rush right out the back. You want it to stay and hang out and play.
Okay. Well, that makes sense to me. All righty. Well, we are at the 256 moment, and Taryn, Doug has informed me that we have one caller who has raised their hand up to ask the question. Do you feel like you have the energy to see who this caller is and say hi to them?
Sure. I don't swear that I will have a brilliant answer, but let's talk.
Okay, we promised we weren't taking any calls, but let's go ahead and let this person through. Karen's only promising to say hi. That's all she's promising.
No miracles here. All righty. Hello, New Haven, Connecticut.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, I was trying to, this is Kellyanne. I was trying to get through and trying to unmute, and I ended up raising my hand. I'm sorry.
That's okay. You're here now. Yay.
Yay. Well, I did have a quick question, and if there's not enough time, that's totally fine. But I realized that my stove is in the wealth area of my kitchen, and I'm wondering if that has, an impact on, burning up money.
Ooh.
It could.
Yeah, do you have any ideas about cures for it?
The best thing, first thing I always tell people about stove is, and especially if it's in your wealth area, keep it clean.
Okay,
that's really important. You sort of rotate burners. Don't use one burner and it's the only burner that you ever use.
Great.
And, those crazy shiny little things under the burners, like those reflectory things,
mm-hmm.
if those are kind of mucked up, if you can replace them, I would just replace them. If they're kind of mucked up and it's not a good week to replace them, just clean them as well as you can.
Okay. Yeah, I have the glass top. And I do keep it clean.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Okay, but rotating the burners is a good thing that I never thought of. Thank you.
Yeah, because, sort of energetically, if you're using all of the burners, then the energy is that you have lots and lots of food because you're using all of the burners. So that reinforces the wealth. If you're only using one burner, then energetically, that's all the food you've got.
Hmm. Awesome. Wow, I love that. I'm going to use all my burners from now on. And I do have a tendency to go to only one, so that's a brand new change in my life. Thank you very much. Thank you for checking in with us. We appreciate the call.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, Taryn, we are right at the one-hour mark, and that's pretty much where we wanted to be. And I have to tell you, I am just blown away by the in-depth information that you shared with us today. And I I can't wait to listen to this call myself and take notes, because I've gotten so much out of this, and I'm willing to bet that Boomerani is just loving every bit of this. So what I'd like to know, because I know that we covered so much, and there is no way that they don't have more questions after this, just the same way Deb and I did, is there a way they can get a hold of you or talk to you if they have further information or questions they want, if they want to contact you with anything? What should they do next?
Friend me on Facebook if we're not already friends, and I will keep everybody posted on, you know, where this is going, and, you know, if I need to clarify things from the call, just, you know, shoot me a direct message.
Sounds wonderful. Well, I can't thank you enough for doing this call with us and giving us the privilege and opportunity to do this interview with you. We got so much out of it, and
I am very happy and
grateful.
I would have never had the nerve to do this if you guys hadn't been, you know, so gracious and volunteered, oh, we'll walk you through it.
Well, you did a great job. One would have thought that you've been interviewing and talking about this stuff for your whole life. So congratulations. I think you did a marvelous job, and I'm willing to bet that everybody enjoyed this call just as much as I did. Deb, any
Thank
final
you.
Words that you would like for Taryn or for the Boomerati?
Oh, I don't, but Cougar does. He's over here purring and chattering away. No, I don't have anything left. This was very, very interesting, and really opened my eyes to some things about the way, you know, things are in the house. So I can't wait to get to doing them.
I am too. As soon as work's done today, I see some clutter control come in my way. So thank you very much, Taryn. And once again, have a wonderful day, and we'll see you at the Boomerati. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.